Heavenly Father, as we just sang, we do pray that you would give us ears to hear your word. And Father, this morning, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So this morning, we find ourselves beginning a new discussion on work. And you may be like, I came here today to not talk about work. I don't want to think about that. I tried to delete that on the weekends. And now, Jack, you're talking about work. Well, whether you find yourself in a career you love or a job you hate, this series is for you. Whether you're in school and you're not yet in work, or whether you work in a less traditional way, this series applies to you. Whether your work is your school, as you young men and women who are in school, college students, that's your work, that's your vocation. Or you're a stay-at-home mom or dad, this series applies to you. What we're going to see is in this conversation is that our work is bigger than any job. There's whole different arenas of work that God has created for us. And there's a lot of different hats that we wear. So no matter what you feel about work, you have multiple jobs. And this is called vocation. Luther calls this the doctrine of vocation. And what that means is we all have different hats that we wear. You can be a husband or a wife, a mom, a dad, a citizen of the community, an employee, an employer. You can be a friend. You can be a neighbor. All of these are different hats that we often wear simultaneously at the same time. So, for example, for me, mine would be I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm a pastor, I'm a neighbor, I'm a citizen, I'm a friend, and there's other vocations. These are roles that God has placed on me that I'm holding at the same time, and you are too. There's those roles for you in different ways too, but in relation to work, our jobs, why are we talking about it? Well, on average, you and I will spend about 100,000 hours of our lives working. Hate to be the bearer of bad news. That's a lot of time of your life. And we're going to talk about it too because we spend a lot of time as human beings either obsessing over work or trying to avoid work. The average American is going to change their jobs about 7 to 8 times before the age of 30. We're going to talk about this because a lot of people are not happy in their work. Gallup says about 70% of workers in America are actively disengaged from their jobs. What that simply means is they're packing it in. They're just doing the minimum to get by, to bring the paycheck home. So if work is something we're constantly frustrated with, or trying to avoid, or trying to find purpose in, or trying to find the right situation, we're wrestling with it for on average 100,000 hours in our lives, then any legitimate and practical faith is going to have to speak to the work we do. Any legitimate and practical faith is going to have to try to see the divine or to see God in the midst of our work. What's the first real job that you remember having? It took me a while to find mine because nobody would hire me at 16. I didn't look sketchy that I was aware of or didn't have anything wrong. I just didn't have experience. And no, everybody was like, well, you have to have experience. And I'm like, that's what I'm trying to get. But you won't hire me. So finally, H-E-B, which is a grocery store in Texas, really big one, they had these stores in Houston called H-E-B Pantry Foods. It was very similar to the Walmart neighborhood concept stores, but it was way before Walmart neighborhood stores. So this was Herbert E. Butts. That's why it's H-E-B. His name is spelled like your hiney. You wouldn't want to go to the Big Butt store for your groceries, okay? It's just not appropriate for that. So before he opened up these grocery stores the size of Neyland Stadium, like they are now, he had these small stores, and so that's where I worked. But I was 17 years old. I had to be at school at 6:30 in the morning most days. I would work at H-E-B Pantry Foods till 12:30 or 1 in the morning, and then have to wake up at 5 to go to school. You maybe have had a similar experience. It was a great lesson that I've never forgotten about work and how everything works in the midst of it. So depending on your earliest experiences with work, you have a unique take on it. There are people who love work. There are people who despise work. And there are people who avoid it at all costs. And if they could play video games at their mom's house for the rest of their life and be paid for it, that's exactly what they do. But here's a Christian worldview on work. Work is a gift, and work is good. And it's a gift from God to us. No matter what your history or how you feel about it, work is a gift, and work is a gift from God. And we find this in Genesis chapter 2. Now, we've been in Genesis for weeks now. You see there's value in that first book of the Bible now, don't you? Like, it's not just about, well, it's just the Old Testament. Jesus isn't it. Look, Jesus is found all the way through the Scriptures. And right here, God has given you and me a gift. Let's see what he's talking about. Genesis 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work he had done. So this is great. God does some hard work, and then what does he do? He takes a nap. This is awesome. If anybody ever gives you any trouble for taking a nap, you just say, it's in the Bible. I've got to be obedient and take a nap. God says so. It's okay. So what else does he do? God blessed the seventh day, made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. So work is good primarily because God himself is good. And God is working and laboring and doing. And he's also enjoying and delighting in it. And he looks at everything he made and he does what? He calls it good. He enjoys the process and he enjoys the fruit of his work as a good thing. And notice, God creates work and it's not intended to be a burden. Actually, there's still perfection at this moment. And God creates work. So if you're like, work is from the devil. It's awful. I hate it. Look, God created it when the world was perfect and there was no brokenness, and it was a gift to you and me. A gift that should bring us joy, should not be a burden. And so it's a good and inherently awesome thing that's given to us from God. But in a purely secular, non-God worldview that we live in, the world around us is just a product of random chance. And as a result, our work is kind of like that too. Like, there's really no purpose behind it. You just kind of work to earn a paycheck. There's no reason you're doing it really. Yet, as human beings, when you talk to people about work, you know the type of words they use? Like, I want to find my calling, my purpose. They use religious terms when talking about work. But as followers of Jesus, this is how we view work and how we view the world. We view the world as if a picture from an artist. The world is created by a God who worked and labored and who loved to do so. And he did all these things with intentionality. And he had meaning behind everything he did. Nothing was done by chance. It was all very intentional. And so God calls mankind to himself and he says, hey, I want you to be a maker too. I want you to be an artist. Be a worker, laborer like me. I worked, I found joy, and I rested. Human beings, I want you to work, I want you to find joy, and I want you to rest. And so God is still making and creating and beautifying things even today. But he now does this through you and me as he's handed us over to manage his creation. We are now managers of his creation. And he calls us to work it. And so he does so through moms and dads, through engineers, through musicians and artists, welders, doctors, nurses, and even those of you who work for the government. God's still working, but he's handed the baton over to us. So your boss may be bad. And your coworkers may be crazy and probably are. But work in and of itself is a gift from God and it's good. Work is given to bless the world and to give joy. So it's really hardwired into who we are as human beings. Maybe this is why when I have my calendar open on my phone and I see all that I need to do, or you open your paper calendar and planner because you just can't put it on your phone yet. You need that pen or pencil. And you look at it and you can start checking things off or deleting them off your screen. And you have a great day when you delete things and you check things off. You feel success and you feel a sense of accomplishment. And why that doesn't happen, you feel really frustrated. Like you say things like, I didn't get anything done today. Maybe that's why, too, as a pastor, when I visit shut-ins, those who can't get out, maybe they've been retired for 10 or 20 or 30 years, at times they say things like this: Pastor, I don't know why I'm still on this earth. I don't have any purpose. I feel like I have no meaning. See, the basic take on work, in summary, is it's a gift from God, and it's good. If this is true, then why do we have so many issues with it? Why is it a struggle at work or at school? Why are there so many issues when you're a stay-at-home mom or dad and that's your job and it's hard? See, maybe because we put more on work than what we should. We expect more out of our work than what work is made to give us. Maybe because it's just flat out hard sometimes. The relationships you have to deal with coworkers or bosses, or you as an employer, and the stresses that come with that, and the anxiety that comes with that, trying to make the widget the right way or the budget the way that you're supposed to. During the time from March to today, a lot of you have had to pivot and learn different ways of doing things. You could do your job with your eyes closed before March happened. And then all of a sudden, you had to learn technology that you had no expectation of ever learning, or ways of doing things that you didn't ever see coming. And so it was hard because you want to do well, and it was like you were swimming upstream. Maybe you're outside sales, and during COVID, you're like, commission? How am I supposed to live? Maybe you're worried about being furloughed, or you're struggling on this person, like, always on your back, and you're like, but look at my results. And they're like, but what have you done for me lately? All of these things factor into making work anxiety-producing, stressful. And not only that, some of you do really awesome at your jobs, so much so that it gives you a pride where your identity is now tied into what you do at work and how awesome you are at work instead of who Christ says you are, which is also an issue. You see, really at the very basic, lowest level, the reason we have anxiety and stress about work is because it's the frustration, the angst we feel is a spiritual issue. There's a broken relationship with God and a broken relationship with work that happened because of sin in the creation narrative in the book of Genesis, once again. See, when the gift of work gets disconnected from the giver of work, God himself, the gift of work gets warped. So it can make it like really hard to be working, or you could be doing so good that the gift is warped because you're trying to get more from work than what work was intended to give you. See, it gets warped because the gift of work becomes a god, an idol, little g, or a grind. A false god and a daily grind that I loathe. So here's how it becomes a false god first. We obsess with our work, so much so that we're disconnected from the one who made us. And now we obsess with our work so much that we sacrifice everything for it. We just do whatever it takes and with reckless abandon. And now disconnected from God, you're trying to find your identity and your approval and your sense of self in your work. Or you can lose the why of work, on the other hand, and you can loathe it because you don't know how it fits in the grand scheme of things. You don't know what the purpose is behind it. You have nothing to uphold you or motivate you. Instead, you go, what's the point? Why am I even using this 5 years or 10 years or 30 years of doing the same thing? What is the point? See, work can only be a gift to the fullest degree when I have a relationship with the one who gave me that gift. So where do you find yourself? Do you find work being a false god that can't save you? Where's a daily grind that you can't stand no matter what vocation you find yourself in? See, a lot of times we tend to go back and forth on the spectrum. And so that's where Jesus comes in. His role is that of restorer. Jesus restores the relationship. And we find this in 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. See, reconciliation simply means you've taken that which is broken and you restore it. It's repairing communication. It's wiping the bad blood away. So there's now a connection. And God restores the giver of work, him, with the doer of the work, you. And we reject obedience. We don't like obedience. We don't like being told what to do. Would you agree? I mean, especially this is the case if you're from Texas, like me. You don't tell us what to do. We will do the opposite, right? That's the way a lot of us as human beings are. But Jesus embraces the obedience and the calling of God on his life perfectly. See, we like to sabotage and mess up our callings. Jesus lived out his calling. We deserve separation from our Maker, from God, because of sin. But Jesus, in our place, endures separation and punishment on the cross in our place. And the life and death of resurrection of Jesus restores a connection between you and the Father. It brings that connection back. And so as a result of the work Jesus has done, we have access to all of the encouragement and hope that God gives us as we work. Our work matters. It doesn't matter what you do. Your art matters. Your spreadsheets matter. Your deals, your sales, caring for children, your schoolwork, your tests, your thesis, your papers of dissertations, maybe, is what I'm thinking of. I haven't written one, as you see. And all of those things, they matter. Caring for your children matters. As you work and you mess up, you're forgiven. As you can't stand the job you're currently in, God has placed you where you are, and he knows you, and he loves you, and for whatever reason, he promises to work through you, even if it's a job you loathe. See, some of us really need to hear this message today. Because I would venture to say that many of us are doing more than simply earning a paycheck at work. Some of us are trying to get saved. We're trying to craft at our job a deep meaning and personal worth for ourselves. And some of us need to hear this because we don't like the work that we're doing very much right now. And as a result, we don't like ourselves very much right now. Why? Because our identity is tied up with what we do. And we don't see that those things are not mutually tied together. Some of us see our work as pointless. And as a result, we may fall into the temptation to see ourselves as worthless. Some of us need to hear that because we're doing great in our work, we like to draw a correlation between our success in work and our value as a human being. Someday that bubble's going to burst. And where does that leave you? See, Jesus has restored the relationship between you and the Father. And because of this awesome news, you have value apart from your work. Your work, for better or worse, does not define you, but Jesus does. But what do we do? What's one of the first questions you ask when you meet somebody? Oh, what do you do? Or if you know they're retired, oh, what did you do? Now, it's a good question to get to know people, but a lot of times we take that and we say that's how we have value by what we did. Because some of you will go, oh, I just was a stocker at a grocery store. That's all I did. Where that matters. Where this is all I did. No, say it proudly. Because God used you in that work, whatever it was, whatever it is. You have love, value, meaning, and worth apart from your work that frees you to work for all it's worth, to know what it can give you, but to definitely know what it can never give you, that you already have because of Christ. So, what do we do with this? I'm going to kind of leave you hanging on alert here today. Because this is a series, and that's just what we do. I'm doing my work. as well as I can. Here's what you need to know. Jesus gives you worth that's not tied to your work, for better or worse. You have value. Jesus loves you. He calls you his son or daughter no matter what you do and or how well you do it. So work as if working for the Lord this week, whether it's earning a paycheck or whether you're working in your yard. Enjoy it. God's given it to you to be a blessing and to enjoy. Your worth is not tied to what you do. Instead, it's tied to whose you are. Amen.